There's a unique simcha learning Yichas Pesachim, learning Yad Yoma, certainly learning Arvei Pesachim. Well documented. The unique simcha of learning Arvei Pesachim, with or without Rishas Kol Tzeltzer in hand. We're about to dive into one of the beautiful, in a certain sense, the first sugya, the opening sugya of the sugyas of Leil HaSeder in Arvei Pesachim. Just to put things into perspective, a drop in two ways. We spoke about this already when we began to touch on Arvei Pesachim right after Purim. But just to remind you of two things. Something we said a few weeks ago and something we said yesterday. And with that, we'll enter into today's sugya. Number one is to remember that the overall structure of Maseches Pesachim is chronological. The 10 prakim in the Shnayim Pesachim are organized officially in the order of time, beginning with Bdikas Chametz. Arul Arbaas starts the first mission, the first parak, starts Leil Yudalad, the night of Erev Pesach. Over the course of the Masechta, officially is mostly about Erev Pesach. You have the next morning, the second parak, you're ready in the next morning. You wake in the morning, you're doing Avir Chametz. And over the course of Prakim Beis, Gimel, and Dalad, you have the Dinim of Erev Pesach. Bir Chametz and Minhagim about not doing Malacha on Erev Pesach and so on and so forth. And then, over the course of that, Mimela Mishnais in the second parak talk about what's kasher for Matzah, what's kasher for Mar, but officially it's all part of the tangent to the discussion of Erev Pesach morning. Then Prakim 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, those five Prakim are from Tabin Nishat, the five Prakim of Karban Pesach, the Kachin part of the Masechta. Those 45 blots are officially all about Erev Pesach afternoon, when you bring the Karban Pesach, even though the ninth parak is about Pesach Sheni. And then finally, Arvei Pesachim, the last parak, gets down to Leil Pesach itself. So sort of ironic, as in Masechta Shviyas, most of the Masechta officially is about Erev Pesach rather than Pesach itself. So the official, as we saw a couple of weeks ago, we looked at the Mishnah on Sayyid Testament base. The opening mission of the parak has three dinim. And the first of the three dinim is still about Erev Pesach. Now, deep into the afternoon of Erev Pesach, and that Samach HaShecha, Samach L'Minchal Yochal Adam HaChepecha. The first of the three dinim in the opening Mishnah, the last parak, is not to eat too much deep into the afternoon of Erev Pesach. Why is the discussion in the Gemara? Does that apply? Does that have to do with eating matzah l'teyavon? How does it apply to only to Erev Pesach, or also to Erev Shabbos, Erev Yom Tov? This discussion the Gemara has at the beginning of the parak, and that launches a whole lengthy, beautiful sugya of Kiddush and Havdalah. Most of the Gemaras of Kiddush and Havdalah are the beginning of Erev Pesachim, launching off of that opening line. Finally, here on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph, 8.5 blot into the parak, we finally get up to Pesach. We finally get up to Yom Tov. Because the middle and last dinim in the Mishnah are Heseba and Arba Kosas. So Kuf Ches Amud Aleph begins the sugyas of Heseba, the sugyas of Arba Kosas are soon to follow, and this begins the discussion of Leil HaSeder. And then it picks up the next Mishnah, is on Daf Kuf Yudalad, a lot of Gemara between here and the next Mishnah. The next Mishnah, Kuf Yudalad, already picks up with Kos Rishon and how you say Kadesh, and then bringing out Karpas, and bringing out the Ka'ara, and bringing out the Charoses, and the Mitzvah, is there a Mitzvah of Charoses? From that point on, there are a lot of Mishnayos and a lot of Gemara, and those last 7.5 block are very rich with the Leil HaSeder. And that brings us to the second opener, to reiterate the first, we had mentioned a couple weeks ago about this, the structure of the Masechta. We want to reiterate what I mentioned yesterday, and that is, we're going to be spending the next couple of days in Bima'ayim, in Tzipsachim Kuf Ches, a fantastic lot. Every lot in Shas is fantastic. This one is easy to see how gishmak it is. And we'll have a chance in the next couple of days at least to touch, to chapra in some of the gishmak that's mamish oozing, exuded by Daf Kuf Ches. But in addition to the Iyun, hopefully you'll continue with the course of Yom Tov, I want to reiterate what I mentioned yesterday. If you're looking for an opportunity to pick a learning project over the course of Yom Tov, which is a good idea, not only because Chazal speak about, in the first parak of Pesachim, about learning Hilchas Pesach in advance of Pesach, at the end of Maseches Megillah, one of the oldest Dinim Drabanan in the world is Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu to learn Hilchas Pesach and Pesach Hilchas Aseres Aseres Hilchas Chag B'Chag. It's hard to have a much older Din Rabbanan than Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu to learn Yom Pesach on Pesach. So I know a great Talmud Chacham, I don't know if he still has time, but once upon a time over the course of Pesach would learn Pesachim and Beitza and Moed Katan and Chagiga and Perek Yerushalmi and Menachos, which is about Sfiras HaOmer and Karban HaOmer. So that's a lot. That's over 200 blah. I forgot, it's around 200 blah. So Mitzvah, you should be zeichet to get there. But for now, I would say don't buy more than you can chew. For this Pesach, why not pick, if it strikes you, pick a more targeted limud, a Pesach limud that you want, that will stretch you, and that you want to conquer over the course of pre-Pesach into Pesach. So there can be many suggestions, both Gemara and non-Gemara. It's going to be a question in large part of what excites you. But a suggestion to consider is these nine or so blah. So where we're starting Kuvches Amal for the two dots, to the top of Kuv Yud Amal, the Tanur Rabban at the top, those two blah, and then to pick up from the Mishnah, the first Mishnah of Kuv Yud Amal, all the way to the end of Masechta. It's a total of nine and a half blot. Even just to learn Gemara, Rashi, Rashbam, you want to peek in Tosis, you want to peek in the Rush, it's beautiful. It's so freilich. So much comes up that's very Pesach oriented. There are a number of larger Arachayim issues that come up also. And it's topics that are loosely familiar, but to see it inside, see where it comes from, is fantastic. Okay, so with that in mind, that the Masechta as a whole, and the chunk of the Masechta, the Leil HaSeder, Sugyas, that we begin right here. So what was the Mishnah on Sadi Testament Beis? The middle section of the Mishnah was the Din of HaSeder. But if you don't have a Sadi Testament in front of you, but you have a Daf Kuf Ches Amraf in front of you, perhaps. So you take a look. And if you don't have that either, I have a few here. Feel free to help yourself. In the two dots, you have the quote of the Mishnah. Seven words. Even the poorest Jew should not eat without Heseva. So before we even get to the Gemara, what's the Mishnah telling me about Heseva? In seven words, the Mishnah is telling me a lot. No one's telling me that there's a din of Heseva. Okay. Well, what two details are being added subtly? Heseb has to do with achila, right? I could have thought that you should, I don't know, say Sibur Tzias Mitzrayim beheseba. No, sing Hallel beheseba. It could be a lot of things. Say Kiddush beheseba. No, it's a way of eating. Lo yochal atchiyasev. The din is to do achila beheseba. We're going to see presently the way the Gemara is going to address that and very subtly, very importantly, the Rambam addresses that. Good, and what else do you see about a Seba?
It seems to have to do with like someone's net worth.
I said, that's strange. Like, exactly. The Mishnah says, even if you're poor, you have to do a Seba, which is strange. Why would you think otherwise? The Mishnah goes on, the third section of the Mishnah, is that even the poorest Jew who's living off of Tamchui, who's so impoverished, Rahman Atzlan, that the Gabbait Staka provide not only with cash every week, but with food every day, even he, they have to make sure to provide him with Arba Kosa Shalyag. So there I understand. Arba Kosas cost money. I might have thought that the fellow is living on Staka, it's okay, he'll be Pater from Arba Kosas. But Haseba doesn't cost money. I mean, ideally, you want to have a comfortable Haseba setup. But the Gemara says, ideally, you want to have a comfortable Haseba setup, but the Gemara says later on this Amud that, strictly speaking, you could just have to mesiv on something. Here are the four lines from the end of the narrow lines. Kufchasim and Aleph. Abai says, Kavim Beimar, when I was Yeshiva Bachar, Zagina Birkei Da Dadi. We each were Zagina, means we were mesiv, a Birkei Da Dadi, on each other's knees. Sounds like they sat in a circle. All the Talmidim were sitting in a circle, and each one was leaning on the knees of the fellow next to him, which means you have to lean on something. You can't just tip over in the air. That's not a seba. You can't just sit on a chair and you know, tilt your body to the side. You have to be supported on something. But it doesn't have to be something expensive. It could be someone else's knees. It could be the floor. So you have to wonder, as Aaron's pointing out, so what's the chiddush that even a Jew who's poor has to do a seva? Okay, yes, why not? You don't say, even a Jew who's poor has to say Kriyat Shema. Even a Jew who's poor has to daven Shema Esrei. He may have unique distractions. He may have unique stress. Other people have other unique stresses in their lives. Okay, but why is it a chiddush? So what do you see? So Elamai, what's the pshat? So what's the Mishnah telling me? L'chora.
They're not
clear
at that moment.
Oh, right. So the Mishnah is telling me by saying, I would have had a Hava Mina. You should come Ashvalon, and the Hava Mina is wrong, but I would have had a Hava Mina that a poor Jew doesn't do a Seva. It sounds like we're addressing exactly what Eitan is saying, that Haseva is not just Stama Maisa, it's a way of conveying a certain idea, the idea being Chayrus. And I would have had a Hava Mina that if someone is so impoverished, maybe so obviously impoverished, maybe he's not even accomplishing anything by doing Haseva. Maybe the Chazal part said, maybe it doesn't even work. Perhaps that would have been the Havamina. What's the line? Priskarov, I think, said in different contexts, like wearing a tie and pajamas. You would have thought that the Chucham et Lulu is a joke. It's not Cheres. But this fellow is going to be massive. Dera Cheres is always an aristocrat. It's a cruel joke. I would have had a Havamina. And since Haseva is meant to express Cheres, if you're an Ani, you shouldn't. Kamash Malan, that presumably that Kali Yisrael are B'nai Malach. As an aside, we'll come at the Gemara is going to focus now on the first point about the Achila, but just as an aside, there is a position of the Rav Yah. The Rav Yah is one of the early Ashkenazi Rishonim, one of the early German Rishonim, lived in the late 1100s or so. The Hagaos Maimini on the bottom of the Rambam quotes Rav Yah. Rav Yah was of the opinion that Bizman Hazeh we should not do Haseba. There's no Chiv Haseba Bizman Hazeh. Hagaos Maimini says Rav Yah is an important Rishon, and he was even quoting his grandfather, the Ravan, but that's a Das Yachid, we don't accept it, Allah Chumash. At least men don't accept Allah HaMaisa. But the Rav Yah was of the opinion, Rav Yah said, no one was Masev. They all drank Arba Kosas and ate matzah sitting straight. Why? Rav Yah said, and nowadays it doesn't mean anything. But Tkubus HaTalma, Chazal didn't invent Haseba. Chazal invented a Chiyuv to do Haseba on Leil HaSeder. But Haseba was a cultural reality before. That if you're curious about Greco-Roman eating styles, and you do your research, you will discover that that's the way aristocrats ate. Just like it was the Greco-Roman equivalent, I mean, just a couple weeks ago, you show up to a fancy wedding and there are, you know, three forks and two knives and five spoons. You're not too sure what to make of all the tableware, right? But you know that this is chashuv. You know this is elegant. Not exactly sure what to use when, but I know this means this is a classy setup. So the classy setup of once upon a time of the Kufas HaTalmud was eating the Haseva. So Chazal mandated every Jew has to eat the Haseva, Leil HaSeder, because that was, at the time, an expression of elegance. So Rav Yah said, nowadays it's not an expression of elegance. He was saying this 900 years ago. So it wouldn't help to do a Haseva. Rav Yah presumably held that even if you would do a Haseva, you're not Mekayim Haseva, because it doesn't mean anything. If you're a Jew stuck in Siberia, you don't have an Esrig. So yeah, there is a chiyuv esrog, but onus rachamai patra, no access. So Rav Yah seems to say, even if you'll do a seva, you're not makayim a seva, because doing a seva as long as it doesn't do anything, because it no longer expresses a chiyuv. Where did Rav Yah get this from? So it's a little hard to know. The Rav Yah doesn't explain his source, but I wonder whether it's this law in the Mishnah. I feel onus should be Yisrael yochal chiyasev. I mean, I would have had a Havamina that because Haseva is meant to be Derech Eros, the Ani shouldn't do it. Why? Presumably because it wouldn't mean anything. Kamash Malan, what? Kamash Malan, it doesn't matter that Chiva say that anyhow. Or the Rav Yah would say, Kamash Malan, it does mean something for the Ani. Because even though it may look a little funny, out of context, for the Ani to be Mesiv, but Lamaisa, they lived at a time when being Mesiv meant something. Just like, I don't know, you know, if you grow up in northeastern United States, so if there's a certain sound that you hear, rattling down the street in the winter, you know that means that snow is coming, because you're hearing the salt trucks rattling down the streets, spreading salt. Or if there's discussion about we need to buy salt, you know that means winter is coming. If you lived in Hawaii, you would have no idea what it means. We need to buy salt. Why? Well, we have inflation. What does this mean? In a certain culture, in a certain time, in a certain place, things mean something. So at the time, Rabbi Yah said, at the time, Haseiba meant chayus. Haseiba meant elegance. So okay, so even the Ani has to do Haseiba. But the Haba meaning of the Mishnah could be a maskana for the Rabbi Yah. Okay. So let's just gain ourselves comfortable with the Mishnah, just to appreciate seven words in the Mishnah, already tell me a whole slew of ideas. Again, Chiyuv Haseiba, and Haseiba specifically like eating, and Haseiba is a demonstration of Chayrus, and not just a meaningless Maisa. It's meant to be a demonstration of Chayrus such that I could have had a Hava Mina, incorrect, I could have had a Hava Mina, that an Ani, even with Tukumas HaTalmud, does not do Haseiba, and maybe that's a marker for the Shita, the Ra'avan, the Rav Yom. They held, we don't pass in that way, LP Pashtas, but they held that Bizman Azel, one should not do Hesed. Okay, now the Gemara picks up initially with the obvious question. If the Mishnah tells me you have to be Mesiv while eating, so the first question is, eating what? Later on, the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to go on to discuss the who and the how of Heseba. Are there individual people who are or are not chayav in Haseiba? And we're just, before they talk about which way you lean, the how of Haseiba, but first is the what of Haseiba. We spent time a couple weeks ago on the discussion of Yayin. But let's go back to the very beginning. The Gemara says, Itma. Matza tzarech Haseiba, mar ein tzarech Haseiba, matza nita Haseiba, mar does not need Haseiba, then Yayin the whole discussion. When Nachman said, you remember we spent time on this Gemara earlier, when Nachman says you do need Haseiba, but we're not sure which of the two kosos he mandated a say before. So Lamaisa, there was a discussion of why don't say Safter Van Lahaka, but Lamaisa, the Gemara says, we're not sure whether Rav Nachman mandated a say with the first two kosos, the last two kosos, and therefore Lamaisa, we are Machmer and Mesa for all four kosos. So what emerged from the Gemara, is that we do a saber for Matzah and for Arba kosos, but not for Mar. And Rashi explains, and Arvei Pesachim, you have both Rashi and Rashbam. So Rashi explains, and the Rashbam is often either just directly quoting Rashi, or quoting Rashi and elaborating. So Rashi and Rashbam both say, Mar doesn't need Haseiba, because the Zeichar La'avdus. Matzah does need Haseiba, Rashi says. Kivnei Chorin, you can make it like a free man. Like an aristocrat, shehu zecher legeula, because the haseiba and the matzah are both zecher legeula, unlike the mar, which is a zecher la'avdus. Unlike the mar, which is a zecher la'avdus. Tosus points out that the matzah is interesting. Take a look in Tosus, by the hava. In the middle, he says, "Ksuva b'Torah zecher l'cheres, shal hispik b'tzeka l'achnas ad sheniglu, afa gav davi lechem oni, yesh l'achol derecheres." The Torah tells me that matzah zecher l'cheres and also zecher l'avdus. Matzah is both. Mar is pure zecher l'avdus. Arba kosa pure zecher l'cheres. Different points of the Seder maybe to different extents, but the matzah is a paradoxical blend of both. It is, as we say in the later in the Seder, and if you have a Pesachim in front of you, you can turn to Dav Kuf Tezayin, maybe. Like many of the key lines in Magid, Rabban Gamliel is a Mishnah. The Bam Kuf Tezayin, I'll go on top of Kuf Tezayin and Beis. Rabban Gamliel, Yomer, Kol Shomer Shosh Dvar Yel Pesach, Leos Yechav Oso, Ve'el Ein, Pesach, Matzah, Mar. It goes on to explain what's the Pesach about, what's the Matzah about, what's the Mar about. Matzah shum sheniglu avoseim mitzrayim. Ayofu is avoseik sheyotzim mitzrayim. Pesach is meant to remind us of the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. So Pesach was a sign of, that's what we ate when we left. The Kadosh Baruch Hu rushed us out so quickly, he didn't have time to eat machmitz. Pesach, matzahs also, the matzah not only we ate on the way out, matzah is also what we ate while we were avadim, the simplest of food. So matzah captures both. Since matzah has a lot to say in terms of that, but for now, since matzah does have a tzad chayrus, so we highlight that it's an appropriate context in which to do hasid. So, but this opening line of the Gemara, matzah tzarech haseba, is ambiguous. What's the ambiguity in matzah tzarech haseba? The Mishnah was ambiguous. Lo yochal atchasek. So we want the Gemara to know. What do you mean lo yochal? Shouldn't eat what? So the Gemara answers matzah. You don't have to be meisa for the Gemara. You got to be meisa for the matzah. But that's still somewhat ambiguous. And we show to point out, the Gemara leaves some ambiguity in saying matzah tzar chaseba. What's still not clear? What's still ambiguous? Let's say matzah tzar chaseba.
Which matzah?
Which matzah? What are your options? Beginning and end. Right? Motzi matzah at the beginning. Nafikomen at the end. So Tosfos says, well, let me ask you a question. Before you even look at Rishonim, what would you have thought? Would you have thought that the Koman doesn't eat Haseba, you have to call off the Koman does not eat Haseba?
Probably,
yes.
Yeah, because Rashi
says that Adam is the Haseba. Maybe the two pieces of matzah have two different symbolisms. Maybe. Okay. You want to have a mucker. That Motzi Matzah Zeicha Avdus and Afikom Zeicha Cheres. Okay. In that case, maybe you said only Afikom. Because Rashi Tosfos is saying, the reason why you made some Matzah is because it has a Cheres Shiva. Maybe? Yeah. What else?
I'm just
going to
respond.
Yeah.
And say, why the first Matzah doesn't.
Even just thinking about leaving out the Svaras, just looking at the language of the Gemara. The Gemara says Matzah Tzara Cheseba. So Yesh Ayin, Afikomen is a piece of matzah, physically. You are eating more matzah. Is it a mitzvah of matzah? Is it some other type of mitzvah? So Tosfos says, at the end of this Tosfos, we're up to now, end of my Dahada, when the Gemara says that matzah requires a seba, Hainu Kishmavar Panachios matzah, u the Afikomen. We mean both. You look in the Rush says as well, Simon Chaf, that you have in front of you also. You don't have the Gemara Pesachim, you still have the Rush in the packet. The Rush says in Simon Chaf, Matzah Vaya Seba, because I is Rishon, Vichaz I is Shal Afikomen. Conveniently underlined in the copies in the packet. So the Rush says, like Tosfos, not surprising. As a matter of fact, look in Beis Yosef, in Simon Chaf and Beis, which, if I remember correctly, is the Simon Arachaim about Dina Haseba. See, he quotes a Machlokas HaRishon. He quotes the Ashri, who, by the way, is another a nickname for the Rush. Not sure why they take off the word Usher. The Rush stands for Rabbeinu Usher. Some refer him as the Ashri. The Ashri and the Mordechai and the Agolus Maimini, all three of them, they happen to be Chaverim. They were all, I believe, Talmidim. The three main Talmidim of them are on Rutmer. The Rush, the Mordechai, and the Agolus Maimini. All, they don't, not Bechuv, to always agree. But here they happen to all agree and all say the same thing. Tzarech HaSeva, Kishaocha, B'tchil, Kazayis, Matzah, Dechein, Kazayis, Afikom. The Beis Yosef does not quote Tosfos. That is not uncommon. The Beis Yosef does not quote Tosfos. And instead quote other Ashkenazi Sfar. But it's Tosfos, it's the Rush, it's the Mordechai, it's the Agolus Maimini. This is the standard Ashkenazi approach. Is that Matzah Tzarech Haseba includes Afikomen. Shkoyach. Thank you so much. Whereas, the Beis Yosef says, who disagrees? The Rambam. Tosfos Rambam says the Beis Yosef, a Matzah Tzarech Haseba, the Shas Achilles Kazayis Matzah. Only the first Kazayis Matzah. The Chain Tosfos Smag. The Smag writes as well, just as an aside, the Smag happens to also be a Ashkenazi Rishon, the Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol, Rabbeinu Moshe Mikutzi, I believe he was, is part of his yichus, part of the significance of his Sefer, is not only that it's one of the four Sfarim called by the Mishmar Ner Mitzvah Ner Mitzvah Ner Mitzvah Ner Mitzvah Shas, He always tells you where to look in the Rambam and the Smag and the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. He's no longer as popularly used as he obviously once was. Must have been used very often if the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah took the time to tell you where to look in the Smag. The Smag, I think Chaim Soloveitchik, Dr. Chaim Soloveitchik, points out that one of the major contributions of the Smag was that he was the first Ashkenazi to quote Rambam on a regular basis. So he really brought the Rambam into the halachic discussion of the Ashkenazi Batei Men. Okay. So it's not surprising that all the Ashkenazim disagree with the Rambam except the Smag, who is quoting the Rambam. Sure. The Machlok is the Rambam versus the Balya Tosus Udi Imayu. Who is the Rambam versus Tosus and the Rosh, the Mordechai and the Haggadah Maimini? Matzah Tzarech HaSeba. What does that mean? Does that mean only the first Kazayis Matzah by Motzi Matzah, or does it mean that as well as Afikomen? Does Afikomen require HaSeba or not? Machlokas HaRishon. Right. So now we know it actually is live on the ground Machlokas HaRishon. And again, at its core, it's a Machlokas in Pshat and the Gemara. How you translate the words of the Gemara? Matzah Tzarech HaSeba. What do you mean Matzah? Does Matzah just mean Motzi Matzah? Does it mean Afikomen also? So what would drive you, if you're a Rishon looking at this Gemara, you have two ways of understanding Matzah Tzarech HaSeba, either includes Afikoman, doesn't include Afikoman. So what would prompt you to learn one way or the other? What would drive the Rambam to say Afikoman is not included? What would drive the Tosas and the Rosh and the other Ashkenazim to say Afikoman is included? What do you say, Eitan?
Whether or not
fulfills your Chol of Matzah. Oh, right. So I would have said, look, the Gemara said Matzah Tzarech HaSeba. So a machlek is whether afikomen is including the word matzah. Physically, it is a piece of matzah. So presumably, the shaila is, the nekudas machlokas is what is afikomen? Come to think of it, afikomen is a little mysterious. Why are we eating afikomen? We know why we're eating matzah. We know we're eating mar. We know we're saying secret to Yisrael. Why are we eating afikomen? We ate matzah. So maybe there's a machlokas we've shown him whether afikomen is a key in the mitzvah of matzah or it's something else. And let's play out what Eitan is saying. If Afikomen is a key of mitzvah matzah, so it's included in matzah tzarech haseba. If Afikomen is a key of mitzvah matzah, then it requires haseba. If Afikomen is not a key of mitzvah matzah, if it's something else, so then when the Gemara said matzah tzarech haseba, they were not including Afikomen. But now let's plug that in. So according to Eitan's theory, it's very mistaba. Now let's take it to the laboratory, let's test it. Let's plug it back in. According to Eitan's theory, you're thinking sharp. So according to your theory, which Rishonim, who holds the Afikomen as a kiyum of matzah, who holds it's not a kiyum of matzah? The Rama would hold it's not a kiyum of matzah, right? And the Bayatosus, the Rosh, and the others would hold it is a kiyum of matzah, right? So it's a very sharp theory. The problem is that it's backwards in both fronts. We can demonstrate that the Rosh did not think that Afikomen is a key of matzah, and that the Rambam did. And yet, the Rambam who holds Afikomen as matzah holds it doesn't need a seba, but the Rosh holds Afikomen is not matzah, holds it does need a seba. How so? So let's take a look. There's a Rosh deeper into the Perek. We were looking before at Simen Chaf, which is corresponds to Daf Kuf Ches. The Russian Simen Lamed Dalin. And Lamed Dalin corresponds to the very end of the parak. Which, if you take on that Bikias project, you'll get there. Kuf Yutes on the base. You see on the top, this is the Mishnah. Em Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. That's what you tell the, you teach the Chacham, all of Dinei Pesachim, all the way until you get to the very end of the Masech. Ad Em Aftir Nachar Pesach Afikomen. So there's a discussion there about in that Mishnah Afikomen is what you're not supposed to eat. It means don't have dessert after your Karban Pesach. And the Gemara goes on to say don't have dessert after your matzah. Okay, but we use the word Afikomen to mean the matzah that we eat because that is our. We're not going to have any other dessert. That's our dessert. What's it all about? So the Rosh here quotes the Rashbam. The Rashbam on the bottom of the Yamun Kuf Yutes and Beis has a discussion. Why are we eating this matzah to begin with? So the Rashbam thought, it's a zeche, when do you eat the Karm Pesach? If you have a Karm Pesach, at what point do you eat it? What point of the meal do you eat the Karm Pesach? At the end. Al Pesach is nachal al hasova. You eat the Karm Pesach when you're already full. You eat the Karban Pesach for a variety of reasons. You eat the Karban Pesach together with matzah and mara. So the Rashbam thought that we eat matzah for Afikoman as a zecher to the chiyuv d'oraisa to eat matzah together with the Karban Pesach. That's the Rashbam. The Rosh sort of fine-tunes that. And here you see at the bracket, Hilkach. He says if the matzah, if the afikoman is zecher to the matzah is eaten with the Karban Pesach, the matzah and mar, why not have korek at the end? Why make mikricha earlier? So he says it's not a zecher to the matzah eaten with the Karban Pesach. Hilkach nirali, the rush tweaks the Rashbam. Hilkach nirali, the osa matzah ain l'shem chova ela ochlin osa zecher lePesach she'enechal ha'sova b'acharona. It's a zecher to the Karban Pesach itself. It's not a kiyum mitzvah matzah. As he says, it's not l'shem chova. There is a mitzvah d'oraisa of matzah. Just to review. There are, we paskin, machlokis in the Gemara, we paskin there are two mitzvahs d'oraisa, bizman hazeh, leil haseder. There should be three. There should be Karban Pesach. You have not been zochet to Karban Pesach in many centuries. Halavai shenizke, still more than a week away. We are a week away. Pesach is Ba'al-Betumah also. Halavai should be zeichet to Beis HaMikdash and Mizbech. The Karban Pesach is Ba'al-Betumah, with or without Paradum. So halavai should be zeichet. We have not been zeichet many centuries to eat Karban Pesach. So Bizman Hazeh, so far we've had two mitzvahs d'oraisa. Sipur Tzias Mitzrayim, Vigadol Vincha, and Ba'erev Tochel Matzahs. The mitzvah d'oraisa to eat matzah. Moror is not d'oraisa Bizman Hazeh, because the Gemara says Moror is not an independent mitzvah, it's Hechshera d'Pischa. Moror is d'oraisa as an accompaniment to the Karban Pesach. So if you have Karban Pesach, we're not told you have to eat with Moror. We don't have Karban Pesach, Moror is not Hazeh as Drabban. The Gemara raises, if you decide to take on the Avrei Pesachim project, you'll discover the Gemara, there was an Amora who thought matzah is also only Drabban Bizman Hazeh. There was an Amora who thought matzah is also only Hechsher d'Pischa. We don't pass them that way. The Rambam clearly counts a mitzvah d'oraisa of eating matzah, but Erev Tochel Matzah is the independent mitzvah d'oraisa, with or without a Karban Pesach. So we have two mitzvah d'oraisa Bizman Hazeh at our Sedarim and Galus, Achilas Matzah, and Sibur Tzivos Mitzrayim, as well as all the mitzvahs Drabbanan, Hasei Barbakos, and so on and so on. So the Rosh says, you're not eating the Afikoman L'Shem Chova. I mean, it's not for the mitzvah Hasei Be'erev Tochu Matzah, the Chiyati Matzah Leil Tezav. No. Ochen Osa Zecher LePesach. It's a Zecher to mitzvah number three. It's a Zecher to Karban Pesach. Shainecha HaSova B'Acharona. When you have a Karban Pesach, you eat it when you're ready full at the end of the meal. Eat it full at the end of the meal. So we don't have a Karban Pesach, we eat a piece of matzah, then as a placeholder. Zecher l'mikdash, to remember we're supposed to be eating Karban Pesach. Well, if Yishu, Zecher l'Pesach, Yesh l'itein la din ha-Pesach sholecha l'achareha. We even give it some of the halachic features of a Karban Pesach. Not all. You only have, as if he was on to say, you don't eat mar with afikoman, and we don't roast the afikoman, and it's not a sheep, it's not a carbon. Okay. It's not actually Karban Pesach. They give a little bit, just like some of the other cases of Zeichel and Mikdash, want to give a little bit of the flavor of the original mitzvah. So that's why, now you eat a piece of matzah at the end of the meal, but just as B'tkupas HaMikdash, a maftir and achra Pesach, HaFikoman, once you eat the Karban Pesach, you don't eat any other food all night long, so to B'zman HaZeh, Midrabanan, a maftir and achra HaMatzah, HaFikoman. Don't eat any other dessert after you have the matzah, which we call the afikoman, because there's no other dessert after. Ah, so that's the sheet of the Rosh. Why are we eating afikoman? The Rosh says definitively, why? Zecher l'Pesach. Zecher l'Mikdash. We have Zecher l'Mikdash throughout the year. One of them is afikoman is Zecher l'Mikdash. Zecher l'Karban Pesach. He's very clear. It's not a kiyum of matzah. It's not. Be'erev Tochel Matzah, Achilas Matzah, we were in the time earlier. And yet, the Rosh said clearly, you do haseba for afikoman, even though afikoman is not a mitzvah matzah. And meanwhile, who said that you don't do haseba afikoman? Which Rishon said no haseba afikoman? The Rambam. So that would have led us to believe the Rambam thinks afikoman is not matzah. But take a look at the second last Rambam in Hilchos Chametz Matzah. Perek Ches, the Rambam goes through the whole Leil HaSeder, puts all the pieces together. The first five Prakim Hilchos Chametz Samatzei talks about the Isurim of Chametz. Not to eat Chametz, not to own Chametz, the mitzvah to get rid of Chametz. Perek Vav is about the mitzvah d'raisa of Matzah. Perek Zayin is the mitzvah d'raisa, as you see. See here, Perek Vav. Perek Vav Alach Alf. Mitzvah Seymir HaTor Lecha Matzah B'lech Hamish Asar. Perek Zayin, mitzvah Seymir HaTor L'Sapa Nisan Nufosh Nasav Seymir Mitzrayim. The mitzvah d'raisa of Sipur Tzitzrayim. The two mitzvah d'raisa was Zman Hazeh. Perek Ches, he gives you the actual Seder. Step one, step two, step three, step four, puts all the pieces together. At the very end, Raman writes, Perek Ches Alach Yudgimu. And the Nosa Kalim point out that this is based on the riff. Mishaimo matzah mishumeres elo kazayis. Let's say a Jew only has one kazayis of matzah shmura. What else does he have to eat? It better all be kasher or Pesach. It better not be chametz, otherwise he shouldn't be eating it or owning it. Leil HaSeder. But you can have bread, which is kasher or Pesach, matzah, kasher or Pesach, it's not chametz, but it's also not Mishumeris, meaning it wasn't made l'shei mitzvah. So you ever got weird, has been in a matzah bakery, this year's a little hard to go. Right, so what are they? They remind all the kneaders and rollers to scream out, shei mitzvah's matzah. We're not just making bread, we're making it with intent that this should be used for the mitzvah. Shei mitzvah's matzah means this is intended to be used for the kind of mitzvah d'raisa of matzah b'leil tazvah, the erev tofu matzahs. That's part of what shafts, what creates it, as a chefter shal mitzvah is asiyah l'shma. A little bit akin to a get. The get has to be made l'shma, otherwise it's a piece of paper, has words on it, has the right text, but it's not a viable instrument. It doesn't work. It's not created chavos gerish v'asa, it was made for that purpose. The same is true for matzah. Matzah has to be made for the purpose of being mekayim the mitzvah of erev tochu matzahs. Otherwise, it may be kasher l'pesach, but it's not something with which you can mekayim the mitzvah achilas matzah. An apple is also kashrul Pesach. And you're allowed to eat apples on Pesach. But you're allowed to eat apples Leil HaSeder also. But if you eat an apple Leil HaSeder, you're not Mekayim Be'erev Tochu Matzos. It's not Chametz. Not everything that's not Chametz is Matzos Mitzvah. So, Hu Adinami, obviously apple's not a Matzah. But even if I have dough, made from Chameshes Mini Dagan, and we ensured that it didn't become Chametz. We baked it. It's Lechem. And it's not Chametz. But if it wasn't made L'Shem Mitzvah's Matzah, it's kosher to eat on Pesach, but you're not going to kayim yuchiv of Be'erev Tochu Matzos with that. So normally, we have boxes and boxes, Baruch Hashem, we live in luxury. We don't realize the affluence that we have. We live in luxury. We have boxes and boxes of matzah shmur. But let's say a Jew in a different time and place in Jewish history, Bekoshi, he has one kazayis of matzah shmur. One could ask the matzah shmur. Then he has some other matzah that wasn't made l'shem mitzvah. So mishein lo matzah mishumer has come back to the Rambam perikas alach yedimol. Mishein lo matzah mishumer is al kazayis. Here's a Jew. All he has is one kazayis of matzah shmur plus some other kazayis of kasher l'pesach matzah, but not kasher l'mitzvah. It's not chametz. It wasn't made l'shem mitzvah. So when does he deploy that one kazayis of matzah shmur? Remember, it's all of his matzah is mutter to eat on Pesach. None of it's chametz, but only that one kazayis of shmur matzah, l'shem mitzvah's matzah, can be used for the mitzvah. When do you eat that one kazayis? I have to bite the bullet. No pun intended. You can't just be eating matzah shmur all night long. You only have one kazayis matzah shmur. When is the main moment to mekayim the mitzvah of Be'erev Tochu Matzah? So the Rambam says, shockingly, at the end, he quotes from the Rif. Kishagomer suudasim matzah sheni mushameres. After you finish a meal that was full of non shmurah matzah, kosher lepesach, not chametz, but not l'shem mitzvah. At the end, nevarcha achilas matzah, va'ochel also kazayis, ve'eno tolam achron klo. Rambam says that if you have to choose one address in your Haggadah, one page in the Haggadah where you can be kind of the mitzvah of Achilas Matzah, it's Afikom. If you have the luxury to eat Shmur Matzah beginning to the end, Tavolach HaBracha. And since you're already doing the Mice of Achilas Matzah's mitzvah at the beginning, you make the Bracha at the beginning. But the main address for the Kiyum HaMitzvah is at the end. If you only have one Kiyum HaMitzvah, Shmur, you must eat at the end. You're going to start your suda rachza motzi, but not matzah. You start your suda, make a hamotzi, and have some kashal pesach matzah, but don't make the mitzvah, the brach of achilas matzah. That's not matzah shmurah. Then you'll have marar, and you'll have korech, and you have a whole meal, and then at the end you make achilas matzah and eat your kazayas matzah shmurah. So the Rama Riff are very clear that the main address for the kiyum mitzvahs matzah, the kiyum of the mitzvah deraisa of tochel matzahs, is apikol. As a matter of fact, you know who disagrees. You know who explains and disagrees? Ironically, the Rush. The Rush of Simon Laman Hey, the very next Simon, starts as he always does by quoting the Riff. It made the point in the past. Some of the newer prints of Gemaras, I don't know if it's Oz Vahadar, or one of the newer Gemaras, actually they relayed the Rush in two different fonts. Just like when you learn Shulchan Aruch, so you have the block print is the language of Yosef Karo, and the Ksav Rashi is the language of the Ramah, so they did the Rush that way, because the Rush is Riff plus. The Rush, living in the 1300s, took the Riff, who lived 300 years earlier. The Riff was a Spanish-Moroccan Sardi, who was a contemporary of Rashi, who lived around the 1000s, same as Rashi. He had written Kitzur Lahalach of the Gemara. The Rush, 300 years later, the end of the period of the Baal Yatosis, takes the Riff, and then adds Ha'aras Lahalacha from the Baal Yatosis. So sometimes they even show you this part of the Rush's quoting from the Riff, and here's the Rush's editorials. Here's the Rush's commentary. So he starts by quoting the Riff. Simon Lamed Hey. Hecha Gales like Kula Suudasa me Matzah Dimintra. You don't have enough for a whole Suda of Matzah Mishu Meres, Matzah Dimintra. Only the Kazayas. So then, Achel Bereisha Meheach Dilaminta. You begin the meal by eating the non-shmura matzah, kosher lepesach, not chametz, but not made l'shem mitzvah, and you just make a hamotzi, ulevasof, you have the kazayis to mintra, and you make the bracha lechol matzah, al achilas matzah. And he goes on to say that it's based on a braisa, kuf yutesim abeis, it talks about another case where you have other kosher lepesach food that's not matzah shmura, it's actually not matzah at all. Let's say I have other baked goods. I have kosher Pesach pancakes. That gets us a little frightened. That's thought of make kosher Pesach pancakes. I don't mean made from potato starch. I don't mean made from matzah meal. I mean made from flour. You have kosher Pesach flour, and you mix it with water, and you make pancakes. You have to, with not some minigashkas is not to try these tricks at home, but strictly speaking, if you knew what you were doing, you can make sure to cook it, bake it, fry it, what have you, quickly enough that it doesn't become hummus. So you have a pancake. It's kashla pesach. But it's not lechem. Pancakes aren't lechem. They're not lechem with respect to afarshas challah. They're not lechem with respect to pasakum. They're not lechem with respect to brachos. You have a stack of 30 pancakes. Maybe a chilagasa. A lot of problems with that. Even how you have to see a doctor afterwards. Either a gastroenterologist, a cardiologist, or both. But you're not going to bench. You might not make any bracha achronim because it was a chilagasa. You're certainly not going to wash, you're not going to bench. It's not lechem. It's not impossible to kiss. It's not lechem at all. It's not lechem with respect to farshas chal. It's not lechem with respect to pasakim. It's not lechem with respect to brachos. And it's not lechem with respect to the mitzvah of matzah. It's made from chameshos mini dadan. And it's not chametz thick. But it's not lechem. It has to be lechem only. So the Brisa says, let's say I have a whole bunch of Pesach pancakes and one piece of matzah. So the Brisa says, eat the pancakes during the Suda, save the matzah for the end. And the Rush said, see? The Rush quotes the Riff, who said, you see, you save the matzah for the end. The main address of matzah is at the end, not because. And the Rush disagrees. He says, no. The Rush himself, after quoting the Riff, he says, what? And this Riff is the source of the Rambam, who was a great grand Talmud of the Riff. The Rush then writes, nah! And the Riff totally misunderstood the Gemara. That Bryce is told Bizman HaBayis. He says, oh, Bizman HaMikdash, you have to save your matzah for the end. Because you can't eat Karm Pesach with pancakes, you have to eat Karm Pesach with matzah. But he says, but Bizman HaZeh, you can eat your matzah shmur at the beginning. In other words, what do we have? Rush Lushitaso thinks Afikoman, matzah, at the end of the meal is just Zeichel Karm Pesach. That's not the real mitzvah of matzah. The real mitzvah of matzah is earlier. While the Rif and the Rambam, they know that Bryce said save the matzah for the end. Isn't it Shor Bizman HaMikdash? Even Bizman HaZeh, the main address of matzah according to the Rambam and the Rif is at the end. In other words, we have Machlokas, Rush versus Rif and Rambam. What is the nature of Afikoman? The Rush says Afikoman, he says both in Simon Lamed Dal and Simon Lamed Hey, Afikoman is not the mitzvah of matzah, Afikoman is the Echel Kardas. Whereas Rif and the Rambam say, no, Afikoman is not only a kiyum, but the main kiyum of Achilas Matzah. So the problem is, Rabbi Yisrael, we're back to square one. Because we started with the Machlokas. The Mishnah had said, you have to do Achila Be'eseiba. The Gemara clarified somewhat. That means Matzah Be'eseiba. The Rishon was still bothered. Which Matzah? The Afikoman included or not? So the toast of the Rosh said, yes, Afikoman is included. And the Rabbi said, no, Afikoman is not included. So what's Hezbra Adavar? What's Pshat? And the Machlek is Rishonim whether Afikoman Tzarech HaSeib or not. So Pshat number one, suggests number one, it was a very good suggestion. That it's a Machlek of the nature of Afikoman. Matzah Tzarech HaSeib is Afikoman Matzah. The problem is you take it to the lab and it doesn't pan out. Because it's the Rambam who says Afikoman doesn't need a Seiba, is the one who says Afikoman is a Kima Mitzvah's Matzah. The Rosh who says Afikoman doesn't need a Seiba thinks Afikoman is not a Kima Matzah. So where are we going to go? So let's just lay out where we're going tomorrow. When you're thinking about just the way you would think about this, what we're looking at is this Machlokas HaRishon about whether Afikoman is a Seiba or not, is at the intersection of two concepts, Afikoman and Hezeba. So first we thought maybe the Machlek is over the Machlek of nature of Afikoman. We tried, and it didn't work. So the other option, the name is Machlek of the nature of Hezeba. We'll take a look. Tamar, Brisker Rav develops the Machlek as Rosh and Rambam over the nature of Hezeba, and that perhaps we're going to try to develop that, see where that takes us. That may also help us understand whether Hezeba applies to Afikoman or not. We read today gone to the mitzvah of matzah. Tomorrow we'll get into the other mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzvah.